Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of the What's Brewing CISA podcast show. We are coming to you live here at the midpoint of the 2021 CISA Annual Conference. I'm Dennis Schrader. I'm your host, and also I serve as your 2020-2021 CISA president.
And I'm Dana Yarbrough, Dennis's fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
So today's What's Brewing CISA hopes to entertain and inform you, you know, maybe for about an hour or so here, just during your lunch hour.
So everybody, let's start the show. And welcome to a live special edition of the What's Brewing CISA show. Let's start this show with our lunch libation.
That's right. Normally it would be our first cup of the morning as me and Dana record this. Normally Tuesday and Friday mornings.
Ooh, in the morning.
That's right. Yes. Exactly. So What's Brewing CISA all stems from that. For those who haven't joined us on the podcast before, so this is just a side project as president that I'd thought of over a year ago, pre-pandemic time, and then dragged Dana into it, my financial aid technician extraordinaire.
Kicking and screaming.
That's what she says, but she's lying. But it's all based upon the fact that I had, for those financial aid people out there that like their coffee in the morning, a K-cup machine in my office. And Dana, of course, would use and abuse it, like my student workers would, and that's what
all
it was
day,
meant
every
for.
Day, all day, every day.
So it was certainly one of those things that we would just talk and do some radio banter, and then I'm like, that would be a great idea to connect with our CISA folks by podcast, if nothing else, and have some people join us, you know, occasionally. And so we've interviewed a number of people, including some people here in the Zoom world here, I can see, including Mike Deere, who's getting on. And I see David Shook and others that we've interviewed and more that will come along in time. And then the pandemic hit, and then it became kind of the easiest way to hopefully connect with people in financial aid. And I've got some friends who connect with us who are not in financial aid. So it's always great to see everybody here, and hopefully you do listen to it. Again, what we do is we record twice a week, Tuesday and Friday mornings. Tuesday we normally devote to as much financial aid news that I can garner from my inbox in my emails. You know, all the things like the NASFA news, CASFA news, our CISA buzz. There's a variety of great websites out there. I used to subscribe to the Chronicle for Higher Ed. A little costly, but it's got good stuff. Inside Higher Ed. There's a website called Real Clear Education, made by the people who created Real Clear Politics 20 years ago that tracked a lot of politics stuff. Real Clear Education is, of course, what it's about, education. And specifically, they have like a higher ed track that tracks like national news on things that sometimes is financial aid specific and oftentimes just about education and higher education in general. Dana, are there other sites that we've used before, sources? I'm sure we've got some out there.
I don't think you mentioned Chronicle of Education.
Chronicle for Higher Education, yes.
Excuse me, yes, for higher education.
Yeah, they're a very good site out there to use. You have to have, they have a paywall, so you can't get to everything. And so that's, you know, sometimes holds us up a little bit. So today's just a special edition. Me and Dana said we should do something in the middle of the show, or she did, because, you know, she wanted to say hi to people. I wanted to say
absolutely.
Hi to people.
You know,
it's good to see some people join us here. You know, everyone, feel free to run around your house, turn up your speaker, and go get something to eat. I don't want to hold you, or if you've got family members that are starving, please feed them accordingly so that, you know, by the time we're done with all of this, we'll still give you some time to find a last-minute snack before you head off to the 1 o'clock breakout session of your choice. But today, you know, we're touching down here at midpoint of the conference. I would have to say that so far, technically, it's running pretty well.
That's good to hear.
Not without issues, but the issues have been resolvable so far.
All right.
You know, I mean, it's one of those things that whether you're in person and you have issues of running out of coffee during coffee breaks, or sometimes you do candy and pretzels and things like that, and running out of those, or they have to continually resupply. There's always something that happens, you know.
Right,
and so we've had a little bit a few issues. Something that we didn't real recognize until afterwards is when people signed up for CISFA maybe a long time ago, or they created their account with our website, if their email was slightly wrong, they haven't been getting the emails as well. And so we've had to fix some of those on the fly. You know, just talking to Cameron, who's our technical team person, it was, you know, things like .edu, you know, you type that wrong and you're never going to get that email. You know, so it's one of those things that happens. We've been fixing those along the way, trying to get everyone rolling along. Hopefully everyone's having a good time so far.
Yeah. So I have a very, very important question for you, Dennis. Okay. So I need you to focus on answering this question. How is the shenanigans level?
You know, it depends upon the session. I'm going to say, most of the sessions have been going pretty well. I would hopefully say so. It's one of those things that with the pre-recorded, I think it actually offers up a little easier way for those who did present or speak.
Okay.
To sit and troll in the chat box. Troll, that seems like a bad word, you know. But, you know, sit there and, you know, try to take Q&A as things roll along. You know, it's a little hard when you're trying to actually do a live presentation and then take all those in. I want to put it out there, especially for some of you out there that I know that might have helped with the CASFA, CISFA, Student Aid Commission co-sponsored high school counselor workshops, which are now called annual statewide financial aid workshops. And where one person is presenting, two or three people are watching over the chat or the Q&A box as high school counselors literally just ding, 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 run down 1,000 questions. And so it takes like two or three people to watch over all that information. If it had to be the live speaker, it would never work. So I think we had that. Also, doing the pre-recorded, we have found out has been useful in making sure technically everything works fine.
Okay.
Things are recorded well. People had all the instructions they needed to make sure they had their lighting, their microphones. Not always as fancy as me and Dana, but, you know, when you prepare well and spend all your own personal money, you can do anything you want, really. But all that was preset. You know, even for my breakout session yesterday on how to be a better presenter, I had to record twice.
Okay.
Because it's one of those things you don't recognize until after you're done with what went wrong. Like in my case, when you do PowerPoint, and you know how, for those who've used PowerPoint 1,000,000,000 times, you've got the presenter's screen that's got multiple little screens on it, like what's coming up next, your notes, a little time bar of your coming slides, and then you have the one that goes out normally to the projector. Well, my recording, the first time I did my Zoom recording of my breakout session, reversed that. So everybody would have seen my presenter screen instead of, you know, what would have been showing up on the wall. So went back, redid it again.
Okay.
And got it all right. But everyone so far is looking good. Even the live sessions have been going well. I really have to hand it out there. And I know he is out here in the Zoom land, Mike Deere, for helping along in our earliest part of the conference, which we ought to talk about, our keynote. Hi, Mike. It's good to see you.
Nice to see you all, too. I didn't do nearly as much as you did. You deserve all the kudos.
Oh, I only.
Hi, Dana. Nice to see you, Dana.
Hey, nice to see you, too.
Yeah, I see in the we have Lisa Mandy saying she was amazing. I have to say, yes, that was fantastic keynote that we had going on there. You know, my few minutes there was just to say hi and really let Nina run with it. So as you can see, my bookshelf's behind me. These are just some of the signed editions that I'm using for backdrop today that will be going out. As Mike had said, we're going to try to delineate like the first 100 or so. We got about 100 plus books between me and Mike. He's got half. I got the other half. And ship those out hopefully in the next week or so to the first 100 or so people that did register for conference. So pre-signed by Nina. So I don't know, Dana, if you were able to step in on that at all. Were you able to take time for the keynote?
Unfortunately, no. So you got, so now that everybody's hyping her up, you gotta tell me about her.
So she's a comedian, but she's so much more. She works at a college, community college, and she's in the counseling world. And again, her, I'm not going to call it an issue. It's just her. It's part of her. She's a stutterer. And okay. So she's a stuttering comedian. And so that's kind of part of what she does. And she's going to have a breakout session this afternoon with a couple other comedians. I think their group is called like Comedians with Disabilities Act. You know, take off of the Americans with Disabilities Act. So she's going to do a little talk with some people during the breakout session. Definitely consider attending that if you can, everybody. But no, just a very interesting, you know, take she gave us on her life, how she grew up, how stuttering, you know, impacted her academics and how people perceived her as far as being whether or not she was college ready or college material. And she's got a doctorate, so I'm going to say she is. I'm going to say she definitely is.
Yeah,
just absolutely. You know, very interesting. I'm about a third of the way through her book. I'm a little slower to it. I bought a copy and then obviously got busy with things. But it's a, it is a very interesting story about her life and coming up and things. So she's, you know, got this dual world, you know, of comedian and working in higher education. So I hopefully everyone had a good time there, too, you know. And she even talked about it, and I see the note there from one of our watchers here. She talks about how when she was going for her doctorate in psychology, you know, a PsyD degree, PsyD, you know, for doctorate, how she was actually was, I think it was her family member were saying, oh, you should go for your PhD and all, and you shouldn't bother with, you know, no one's going to know what a PsyD degree is. Until apparently that person, and maybe it was her mother, said, was watching like Oprah or some show and had somebody on the show who had that degree. And it was like, oh, well, I guess people do know about that. So Mike's giving me the thumbs up on that. So that was just a very interesting take on that, because I mean, it's kind of like EDDs almost, you know, educational doctorate, something until you see it. And now that's more prevalent, at least in our field. Nobody outside our field may quite know what that is. But, you know, sooner or later, they're going to learn. Because it's out there, and it's being used a whole lot more. So, yeah, it was really good. We've had other sessions since then. Hopefully, everyone's been able to find a really great breakout session. You know, we've got them coming from a variety of people. We've got Department of Ed here doing sessions for us. Again, because what we did is, in short, we had, you know, a conference planned for last year, everybody. I know you don't remember going to it, because none of us were able to go to it, unfortunately. So what we did is we asked many of the presenters from last year, taking into account how many sessions we could fit this year. You know, last year we would have had maybe five or six or even more breakout sessions at any given time with some repeats through the day because you're there physically on site. And though repeating's a little easier. And we had a lot of rooms, so you want to utilize all those rooms as much as possible. But doing a virtual one, we didn't want to do the repeat thing because these presentations, at least most of them, will be available after the conference on the Vision Resource Center of the Chancellor's Office or elsewhere linked from the CSFA website. And so we had to cut back a little bit. But we tried to keep as many sessions as possible that we had had planned for 2020 for 2021. So we got Department of Ed to come and speak on most of their topics that they were already planning to do. We have the OIG set up to talk on what they always talk about, you know, about fraud and things, how we can work with them to find or report potential fraud from students. And we had a great connection with NASFA and have them, again, recommit to helping us with this conference and talk on things like operational calendars and things to keep in mind about program reviews and audits and all those wonderful things and their business services too. And so we've really had a great connection there with them. I want to thank also, I don't know if our Student Aid Commission, our CSAC folks are here on the Zoom here for the live edition of the What's Brewing CSFA podcast, but I want to thank them for, again, recommitting and getting theirs all pre-recorded and spreading out the love. So John Waldrop, Yvonne, Jose, everyone who's been involved in that, thank you again from to the Student Aid Commission people. Please attend those sessions. I just did the one on AB 540 and California non-resident status, and I always learn something, including stuff about like this temporary TPS type visa, you know, the temporary protective one in all the different countries, and how, you know, if that changes, you know, 1 year it's Sudan is on the list like they are right now, and then they don't come, aren't on the list. How do we account for some of that for students who may have AB 540 status because of that?
Okay.
You know, so very interesting things from our Student Aid Commission. But great sessions overall. We've also got just a wonderful number of people from our board, from community colleges, from local organizations, putting on a lot of other great breakout sessions. So, you know, Dana, it's looking like a pretty good conference.
Yeah, no, you know, it sounds like it. It sounds exciting. It sounds fun, pretty robust. And I know there is more to come, right?
That there is. You know, this afternoon, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, rock. No, that's a part of a song. If anyone's ever seen Happy Days.
Happy Days.
Which, just for trivial matters, you know, is based in what city?
Oh, man. Oh, my gosh. Happy Days. Detroit? Not Detroit.
Oh, my goodness, Dana.
Oh, man.
I'm sure someone out there knows. Yes, Lisa.
Milwaukee.
Mandy. Milwaukee is correct answer. Is anyone who's hosting or co-hosting this show originally from Milwaukee, you think?
Yourself, maybe?
That I am, yes. So, yes, yeah. Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley hits at home. And you know,
oh man, now you really took me back. Oh man.
And my mother used to go to the Car Hop Diner place that Al's or Arnold's, depending upon the part of Happy Days you've walked from, is based on.
Okay.
Because it's on the, what they call the south side of Milwaukee, which means there's a river that cuts through Milwaukee east to west. The south side, guess what? South side of the river. That's where she grew up. She knows of that place too. So. You know, gets a little Milwaukee trivia.
Come on now. Go.
So, you know, between the Fonz, Laverne and Shirley, you know, that shows up in Happy, you know, there's that crossover there, everybody. Yeah, Happy Days there. So 1, 2, 3 o'clock today for more breakout sessions is what I was going back to. It's amazing I remembered that. And then at 4:30, we're going to do a president's reception. So it's going to be kind of loosey-goosey. There may be shenanigans going on at that, Dana.
As you're going to record, right? So I can have, some footage.
I may get you guys a VIP pass to come into the room. How's that? I think we can do that. We'll do a little VIP pass for you and work it from there. But it's going to be a little different. You know, in the past, our president's receptions have been everything under the sun from hors d'oeuvres and drinks to a little live music, different variety acts, I'm going to call it. We've had a variety of things from entertainers, musical acts. Over the years, so many conferences blend together, but so many different entertaining things for us. And then usually then you break into time with a DJ and live music or live music in time to dance. And, you know, and then roll through the rest of the night, and then we'll see who wakes up the next morning to come to the meeting on time. So, you know, it's one of those type of things always running through.
So that type of situation, huh?
Exactly. This time might be a little more subdued. We're using a product called Remo. So when you go to your My Events, you'll hopefully see the president's reception in there. It should switch you into relatively painlessly. You might have to do some kind of account setup and stuff like that. But basically, funny there, a note from Kevin. I don't seem to remember any of the prior president's receptions. Yeah, it might be a little odd. I understand that completely.
You know why. I know why.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we're going to be able to socialize. It's going to be like a virtual room, and you'll have tables, and you can do video sharing or audio sharing or, you know, just keyboard stuff. Sit yourself down at a table. As the tables fill up, if we literally have like almost 300 people signed up for conference come out, we're going to go to multiple floors. There's like a bank of virtual elevators and go up and down the floors of different tables, find some people. And I really want people, you know, to get out there, you know, find a table, find somebody new to talk to from a new school you don't know, meet some people, hopefully our NASFA, Department of Ed, or Student Aid Commission type staff will join us, sit down, say hi. Also, maybe look for a current CISFA exec board member. Say hi if you have questions. Ask about how you can get involved with the association. If you have technical questions about how to create your own podcast, find me or Dana somewhere hanging out, right? You know,
we'll be there.
We'll be there.
Oh, but there's a question here. Yes. Somebody wants to know if Mike will be doing any karaoke. I think that's the important question.
I think we see the answer that came through the chat. He says, absolutely not. He's been banished. Wow. Maybe next year's conference, even though he'll be past president, we plan to keep Mr. Deere close by. And, you know, we're going to be announcing where the conference will be next year. We shouldn't say anything yet now.
Okay,
but it might be close to where he lives. Let's just say that he can possibly drive, or in his case, he'll probably be able to jump in a kayak or canoe because he's kind of that kind of guy, or take a bicycle down to the conference. So, yes, don't worry. We'll see what we can do about karaoke for next year's conference. We do have music at least lined up already, in part because the band that we were going to have last year has been held over to 2022.
Awesome.
Yeah, so we do have music coming up to everyone. So, Dana, you know what this time of the show is for, right?
Yes, I do.
A little musical break to do a little reset, and then let's start up our second part of the show.
And welcome back for our second cup segment on this special edition of the What's Brewing CISFA show.
So it's time for a little refill.
This might not be my second cup though.
I have a feeling it isn't. It is midday of the show. I have a feeling that you probably may have had some other cups of coffee.
Maybe with a little something something on the side. Just a little something something.
Look, now during the president's reception, what you do is all up to you, everybody. Keeping in mind that, again, it's 4:30. I assume for many of us that might be the end of our business day. And when you're at conference, you know, it's 5 o'clock somewhere or 5:30 somewhere. You know, make sure you get past the 5 o'clock thing. So what you do is all up to you. You know, of course, whatever you do, Dana, do responsibly.
Of course.
That's right. You know.
What am I going to do?
That's you are the woman of shenanigans.
Man, I do love some good shenanigans. Yes, I do.
Yes, that is why you are the party crew leader in the office. And I have to say, you know, this is one of those things that even during pandemic times, I don't think I've donated so much money for different birthday parties, celebrations, holiday parties.
Yes.
Student graduations.
I have virtually shook you down. Yes, you have. Yes.
Retirement parties, all done in the Zoomified world.
Yes.
So it's all possible. Hopefully everyone here is doing the same or doing something with their staff as most of us are probably still working remotely. Some of you guys I know are back in the office a little bit, maybe not with all your staff, but, you know, doing that, keeping the connected, right, Dana? I mean, that's important.
Yeah. So we do. We try to stay connected. You know, by, you know, meeting up through Zoom, you know, after work sometimes, mm-hmm. or, you know, we're all on a text, you know, a chat. So, you know, just check up on each other, make sure, you know, hey, he's checking in on you, make sure you're all right. So, we try to stay connected.
Have you found that most of the staff and students have been pretty responsive to this?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Uh-huh. So, and then, so you notice I said we do it after work.
Yes, I heard that part.
Yes, uh-huh. So, you know, after hours, after 4:30, uh-huh. So, you know, just trying to help you understand what's going down afterwards.
Okay, I got you. You would definitely agree and say, you know, for your president's reception, feel free to, you know, enjoy yourselves at home. Again, mingle through our virtual platform. I'll do a couple of things at the start. For those that had seen the emails throughout maybe the last 7 or 8 months when we first launched this, we had a special project that we created called FAMS, the Financial Aid Multimedia Showcase. And so, you know, this had much bigger plans for it prior to the pandemic. And I'll say what it all ignited from. So somebody on our exec board, and I'm not going to say if they're in the room or not, had shown a little movie trailer that he created about financial aid during an exec board meeting. You know, guess something, again, one of our creative types in the room or in the exec board. And I just thought, again, it was super, super funny, first of all. And it was about financial aid. And so it really was just this thing that I was like, I bet we have a lot of creative people throughout financial aid. And I bet if we did like a little Hollywood type of, you know, awards show, people would get together with their staff and they'd make some funny videos. They would, you know, maybe make some music videos. I mean, we had all kinds of categories. I mean, if someone wanted to write a poem or something, what the heck? Why not? You know, write original music. And so we put out the show back in the middle of summer to say that you had really until end of the year. I think we gave a deadline of late January to submit things, and we got some submissions. So I really have to say that's what we're going to be announcing at the president's reception are the winners from the multimedia showcase.
It's going to be awesome. And yeah. then are there any prizes that they will receive?
Yes, the swag and the awards, because the trophies haven't been made because of the timing of decisions. Okay. And, you know, trying to get everything laid out. But, yeah, there will be some swag and all that stuff going out to the winners. And in some cases, there's, like, multiple people on a project. So we're going to have to figure out how they split all that stuff up or put the award out in their office. We'll figure that out. But, yeah, we'll announce the winners. If you you should see somewhere in the schedule. I know it was scheduled for yesterday. It might be rescheduled on a number of other spots as a breakout session of, like, video on demand of the FAMS, F-A-M-M-S, projects. Definitely go out there and check them out. I mean, there's like three of them. Again, small number of entries, but high quality. That's what I would say. And definitely worthwhile seeing. So we're going to do those announcements. We'll say a couple thanks to our sponsors this year. We've been really lucky. I know everyone probably misses the exhibitor hall. It is a hard thing to pull off in a virtual world where you could walk among our sponsors and our exhibitors, you know, get to know or say hi to someone that you already work with or get to know about another product or service from a company. So we decided we'd go the sponsorship route. You've seen their videos at the start and end of breakout sessions. You've seen them at the start or right before our keynote, but we want to do and offer up thanks again to them. They help us do what we do here. It helps keep our conference affordable. Also, as you know, Dana, we pump that money into our scholarship program.
Yes, you guys are bringing it back.
Yes, we are. We're bringing it back. Last year, you know, it was kind of, again, with the last minute cancellation of the conference and because of closing of campuses, we had to close out and not do the regular scholarship cycle where we offer two scholarships per region across the state. And so this year we're back to doing that. Two $500 scholarships per region across the state, along with one additional one, I believe, for Region 9 this year in the Marianne Deacon It Depends scholarship.
It depends. Yeah.
That's right. So hopefully financial aid directors and others have received an email or will shortly receive an email from our scholarship coordinator, Yvonne Glashan. She's part of a team. Her and Adrian Lee handle scholarships. Adrian does the fundraising side. Yvonne does the part about the applications. So it's a little different this year. We're going to do an online form for students. So you'll link to it somewhere from your website or send out emails to students at your campus, letting them know about the availability. They'll apply online. We'll collect them all up through our deadline. Yvonne and I, we work as a team, her, me, and Adrian. We will work then to figure out which ones are from what school, because they'll be asked what school they go to. We'll send the applications to the director at the school. You guys, as in the past, will try to pick up to two people from your school as your nominees. Send that information back to Yvonne. Yvonne's going to tabulate that, get them all for every given region. And then what we do is, just like we've done in the past when they were paper, we'll give like Region 1 entries off to the Region 7 regional rep that sits on the CISFA board. They'll review those, make a decision, and pick two. And we'll do that. We'll intersperse among the different regions. And then those winners will be tabulated, approved by the board, normally right around the May meeting of the board. And then we will try to get checks out to the schools as soon as possible. And we'll work with the schools. Don't worry. We'll work with everybody, knowing that some are open, some are not, and figure out how to get those checks to the schools, to the students.
Yes.
You know, before, hopefully, before all, before the end of the month of May. That's okay.
That sounds good, Dennis. That's going to be awesome.
I hope so.
To have it available again.
Exactly.
Because from what I remember, we did have one winner in our office a couple of years back.
I think we did, yes. So, yeah. You know, we try to spread the love among the schools. And again, based upon what the students write about, you know, as far as the circumstances they've lived through to get through school.
Absolutely.
And how this extra funding will help them, you know, complete their program with us and either go into the workforce or continue on for school at a university. So, yes, we'll have that going on too. So look out on for all that coming up. Now, what else could be going on, Dana, at conference?
Hmm. Oh, my word. Oh, my goodness.
You think we're going to do a business meeting?
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
I think the answer to that is yes. And it's all good. And it's all good business meetings. This is tomorrow morning, everybody. It will probably be much shorter than the schedule says. I think we always put ourselves down literally for like an hour and a half. I don't think we've ever had a business meeting go that long. Nobody's ever filibustered, you know, sat there and read from the phone book in order to get something passed.
Oh, man. We should do that. Remember that episode? I think it was
Parks and Rec.
Yes.
Interesting you bring that up. So those who are Parks and Rec fans, anyone can say yes in the chat. So Parks and Rec, yes. Patton Oswalt, the actor that does the filibustering on the rules, because, you know, Leslie Knope, Amy Poehler's character, is trying to, you know, do what good government should do, which is clean out all the old stuff, you know, all the old bad rules. So that you can focus on the new ones, or, you know, so people aren't held to stuff that was created in the 1850s or something, you know. Patton Oswalt, here's the trivial matter, and it very is much trivial. He and I lived in the same apartment building in Los Feliz at one point.
Look at you, just living the life. You're living your best life, man.
I think it was in his earliest days of King of Queens, when he was still a part player, until they kind of rolled him into like a regular. But I saw him a few times on the elevator, said hi, you know. And then I'm gonna
really blow your mind. Did you know he also was in Reno 911?
That I did not know.
Yes.
Wow.
I did. Yes. Not know. Remember when I was on my binger? Yes, he is up in there, all in there.
I got you. Yes, and did you know his wife wrote a book? His late wife.
I think you told me. Wife. Yeah, you mentioned it to me.
Yes, those are bookshelves with real books in the background, but called I'll Be Gone in the Dark.
Right.
Right.
Because, I believe HBO has a documentary about her in that book. I believe so.
Yeah. Seeing that we're already this far off tangent, we'll get back on the tangent, everybody. But this was I'll Be Gone in the Dark, One Woman's Obsessive Search for the Golden State Killer. So Michelle McNamara, again, she has passed since, wrote this book and married to Patton at the time. Living in Burbank, wrote this book and was part of the whole thing of breaking through to finding out who the Golden State Killer was. And there's a documentary and there's a number of other shows, either on like Reels or True TV, that talk about that breakthrough, because a lot of it was DNA based. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't that they had his DNA, but again, these were, you know, murders done 30, 40 plus years ago with long breaks in between. They never found anything specific to him, but somebody in some database of DNA, one of those that then allowed theirs to be shared, was a familial relation. And they figured out it was either like, whatever, like a father, uncle, whatever. They figured that part out. and narrowed down pools and stuff. I watched this. It was very interesting.
Okay.
Until they figured out what the relationship might be and who could be related to the person. They found this person. I think he was a policeman back in the day. And so they kind of like staked them out to get some of his DNA to do the actual match to the match. And lo and behold, they found a golden state killer.
Wham, bam, thank you, man.
Yeah, so that's the fourth degree of, you know, down the rabbit hole we went here on.
We really did. We went down there.
That's right. Exactly. Yes. So, my goodness, Dana. You found a rabbit hole and kept digging. They usually tell you to stop digging, but that's okay.
Man, you know, it is what it is. We're here to have a good time.
That's true. That's right. That's what this is about. And hopefully people are, again, having a good time with the conference. You know, please fill out, you know, one of the things that I'm not even being prompted to do this, but please fill out the survey or surveys that you get along the line for the conference, because we want to know what went well. If you had some pain points, we understand there's always some pain points. Hopefully they weren't too bad. I have to say we had very good attendance, so I want to thank everyone who did sign up for the conference. But, you know, we're working through this just like you guys. Just like you guys back in your office, we're working through the issues that have continually popped up along the way and trying to solve them. You know, I have to really put it out there, and I don't know if any of them are on the call with us, but our wonderful people over at the Foundation for the California Community Colleges, which are normally they'd be working somewhere around the same floor as our friends like Ruby and Gina, and Terrence up at the Chancellor's office. Those are names you probably all know. They've helped us so much on the technical aspects of this conference. Again, you know, you have to find a platform. So we had some options. And again, they have done so many other conferences for our EOPS friends, our Veterans Resource friends, just a number of other, you know, other categorical type programs that work through the Chancellor's office at the community colleges. And so they had a lot of good advice. And so me and Mike, the exec board, the conference committee, sat and talked to them. We looked at pricing accordingly. That's why our conference cost was so much less this year, you know, straight out, because we didn't have to feed anybody. That's, you know, when you really think about it, it's amazing what conference food costs at a hotel.
Right. No. Because I know how much our culinary arts charges when we do our scholarship ceremony. So yes.
Same concept. Absolutely. You know, I mean, it's, again, this is part of the catering world, hospitality world, and people forget about it. I mean, you are paying in a sense for everything. You've got actual food, probably the least cost most of the time. But you have the service, the setup, the breakdown, the staff. Not just the staff serving you, especially if it's a sit-down meal. When we've had CISFA conferences of 300-plus people, that's 300 meals that have to get in and get out. Maybe a salad, a dessert. You know, they're constantly moving. You see how hard they work, and that's why we're so very thankful at every hotel we've been for the type of service that we get. But that cuts out a lot of costs. So we really just had to cost out, you know, the platform, multiple other things like, you know, working with Zoom generally isn't an extra cost because the state chancellor's office has, again, this big overarching agreement that allows them to do certain events up to certain numbers, and we could get in on that. The platform for our social event is separate, again, not too costly. Doing the videos, getting those closed captioned or live closed captioning, all that at cost. But again, I want to thank everyone who's come out. And again, we wanted to offer it at a reasonable price. And then hopefully next year, we're going to boost those prices up again, Dana. I'm just telling you right now, because we're gonna be feeding you again. We're going to be back to doing snack breaks.
Man. We're gonna be back. And look here, I'm going to want two desserts.
Oh, well, okay, Dana. I'm going to see what I can do. You know, I'm going to have to drag you down anyways, because we really should pack up the studio. And again, depending upon what the incoming president, who we're not going to announce quite yet, and we'll explain why. You know, whatever that incoming president wants to do for their conference in 2022, we'll see if they let us do off in a side room a live version of this podcast.
Oh, man, I'm here for it.
That's going to be like episode 200 era.
Oh, my word. You know? Will we syndicate it then?
Hopefully so, because that's, you know, you know, they say after, that's where you make the money.
But, Dennis, we got to get some sponsors, man.
Look, we had sponsors for the conference, and that will help us. You know. But, you know, talking about president, you know, some people were probably wondering why we were electing so many people as president this year. So normally, when you get elected as president for CISFA, you're president-elect for 1 year. Then you roll right into president. And then one more year to finish it out as past president. And each one of them has different duties along the way. President-elect is usually a learning cycle, helping with conference, and a variety of other things, kind of being whatever the president needs at the time. Then the president is usually the biggest thing is doing the conference, or in my case here, Dana, with you, conference and then some, right? Mm-hmm. A little podcast and stuff. And then past president focuses on elections for the next year, and also, of course, looking at bylaws and other improvements overall to the association and offering guidance and such. And certainly that's what Mike Deere has done this year. And of course I've dragged him into this conference stuff and he dragged himself willingly, I hope, to help make sure we had this nice smooth conference. But the person who was initially elected president elect over a year ago moved on to a job out of state,
mm-hmm.
at a bigger, better school, you know, somewhere in the nice Midwest there. Near a whiskey trail or something like that, or a bourbon trail, whatever they call it. I mean, I don't know what they call it, Dana. What am I talking about?
You tell me.
So we decided we had to do a special election, and because of the timing of things, we decided we'd wrap it up with this current election cycle. So in a sense, we do have incoming a new president that will start as president July 1st. That's when our terms start for the association. But they'll serve president-elect from, in a sense, tomorrow when we announce through July 1st. Mm-hmm. Help with the transition meeting that we do in May where we bring in the old outgoing board with the new board and talk through, you know, continuation for the association. And then, of course, we'll also have a new president-elect who will serve as president-elect from July 1st through next summer, I guess. Summer 2022, right? If I've got all that right. So
yes, you did.
We'll be announcing that also at the business meeting. That's going all the way back to the word business meeting I use.
Oh man. We just can't get away from it, huh?
Yeah. I'm like a really bad comic in the sense that, you know, comics do what they call a callback, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, bring it, you know, yep. They mention something early in the show.
Uh-huh.
And they that's bring it kind up. Of a little open-ended.
Mm-hmm.
And then they call it back at the end before they go, thank you for tonight. Yep. And then they walk uh-huh. away, right?
And then they mic drop. Yep.
That's right. Exactly. I am no Dave Chappelle. But that was my far back callback of just 5 minutes ago. And the reason it was so big for me is because with memory slipping and failing here, sometimes I'm not always sure I can always get to the callback because I may not remember I did the first part.
You can't even remember. Okay. No, yeah. I understand. I got you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Dana, you know where we are in the show again. We're going to do like this slight little music thing. Okay. Headed to our last 7 minutes of fun with everyone here on the
Let's do show. This.
And just like that, who knew? We're back here for what is normally our last sip segment of the show. Let's get that last sip in of whatever you guys are drinking with your wonderful lunches that I will try to have some at 1 o'clock or whatever I've got left in the fridge. But it's a good time here, Dana. You know, for those who have listened to the podcast, one of the things we instituted pretty early on was an I dare you to, as in I dare you to listen to, or sometimes with Dana, I dare you to listen to some, you know, interesting music.
Mm-hmm.
Or I dare you to watch like a TV show or binge watch. Occasionally, we both have had books. You know, I dare you to read
yes.
something. Dana, on this special episode, do you have a special I dare you to that you'd like to offer out to our audience?
Always, always, always. Thundercat. All of you need to check out Thundercat.
My Thundercat. Boy, Thundercat.
Yes.
That's right. For those who are wondering, I think I've seen that comic. That's a cartoon show on TV, right?
No. The musical artist.
The Thundercat. Musical artist Thundercat.
Yes, please. So if any of you who are fans of you know, jazz, R&B, soul, funk, definitely check out my boy Thundercat. And you know, if you are into music, definitely check out Tiny Desk, NPR's Tiny Desk.
Yes.
You know, for sure. I can't stress that enough. And then, you know, after you listen to my boy Thundercat, let me know your thoughts, because we can discuss it. We could talk about it. We could theorize about it.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, someone says, yeah, agrees with us, NPR Tiny Desk. I have to say, Dana turned me on to Tiny Desk. Again, it's this little series of music acts playing in what looks like kind of a library setting in some offices at NPR. Usually a little more acoustic than normal for some of the acts because it's a limited space. But they've covered it all, Dana, right? I mean, they've got rock, jazz,
the full folksy, spectrum, man.
Yeah. Just fantastic. And again, not very long.
No.
Decently, you know, pretty good acoustics. Yeah. Someone's saying they want to know more about Thundercat. Yeah, you definitely want to know. You got to see him. And what's the name of his newest album?
The newest album is It Is What It Is.
Okay. And what's the one that I got that I first bought was Drunk?
The one you have is Drunk, yeah.
And it's like this guy's head up to like this in the water.
Yeah.
that much you'll see. But no, it's very interesting music. He's in this. Mm-hmm. I think he's part of that whole group of kind of new jazz.
Yes,
people.
Jazz. Yeah, because he's up there with Kamasi Washington, definitely.
That's right. Lotus.
And Christian Scott Atunde. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Flying Lotus.
Flying Lotus is.
Okay, I will group him.
I'm going to say it's too. In that kind of thing. And then I bought an album from Ryan Porter. I think he's a trombone guy who's in some of these groups and has them. Again, they're interspersed playing among. I listen to a lot of trombone music because I did play trombone in high school because that's where all the money is. So, yeah, it is one of those things, everybody. Yeah, pick your instruments appropriately, you know. Take drums. No. I know we have musicians out there, you know, but, yeah, trombone probably might not have been the thing.
Oh, yes. Somebody recommended Robert Glasper. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
My goodness, we're going to just have to have a special edition of this show.
Oh, man, I'm getting excited. Jazz. I'm getting hyped. Can you see that I'm getting excited right now?
Yes. Yeah, we have lots of good, but all kinds of, that's great. You know, I want to say the Thundercat thing, absolutely. You know, the violin stuff, yeah. I like Lisa Mandy's comment on that. You know, you could make money on that. I mean, that's the person that leads the orchestra, right?
Heck, you know? Yeah.
I mean, you can't top that. Absolutely. So let me see. Do I have an I Dare You To here with about 3 minutes to go? You know, I was just listening to, and again, this isn't not my style of music normally, but Stereolab. Does that name sound familiar for a band? I guess they've been around for a while. They have a new album called, I subscribe to, like all you guys out there, we've got, you know, I've got a big music library on my iTunes. I've got about 1,600 albums, let's say. Somewhere around there. And they're all recorded in lossless style, for those who know what that means. Higher quality, you know, as opposed to just MP3. Nothing against MP3, but I also now subscribe to one of those musical services, Tidal. As I had to explain to someone who didn't understand, like Tidal Waves, you know. Because, again, it's high-resolution music. And so I've been listening to, you know, it's just like Pandora and Spotify, where it pulls up new albums and stuff you might be interested in and mixes made for you. And so I was at a friend's. We were sitting socially distanced, maybe smoking cigars or not. Ain't going to tell you. But basically, we were listening to music, and I was pulling up the new albums in Stereolab. Very, like, mood kind of music. Kind of a different take, you know. Okay. Definitely, the name of the album is called Electrically Possessed. Switched On Volume 4.
Okay.
So it's kind of neat. It's kind of interesting. The singing's kind of interesting in there. So I'm going to throw out Stereolab. It throws you off what genre exactly it is, because I'm not an EDM person.
Okay.
I'm not a fast-paced electric music with a lot of auto-tune. Almost, I don't want to say I abhor auto tune, but I guess it's.
We're
gonna
go down the rabbit hole on this. Yes,
I know. Let's not go into that.
You're good. We're gonna stop you right here.
Because I know we have some audiophiles out there. Some people that know about LPs and the world of analog on the call here today.
Absolutely,
so,
all about the vinyl. Yes,
of course. All about the vinyl. Let's do that as a show.
Yes, we should.
I think we could pull some people in for that. That'll definitely be something to look at. Well, so I'm going to throw out Stereo Lab as my one and only, I dare you to at this point. Other than, I'm going to throw out a book. I don't know if you've seen it or heard about it. Stutter Interrupted, The Comedian Who Almost Didn't Happen by Nina G. Again, if you don't get the book from us, I'd bought my copy out on a online book purveyor. Get yourself a copy. I think it's well worth the read. And again, if you are one of the early registrants who gets a copy that's signed, then you just have an extra copy. And you keep the signed one somewhere nice, you know, with your signed books and all. You know, keep them, you know, nice and clean and don't get fingerprints all over it.
Don't get it. Don't do it.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. But Dana, we should let these people go get some snacks. Aww. Have something to eat.
Don't say it isn't. Don't say
No, that's about all we're going to have time for today, Dana.
Okay. All right.
If this hasn't convinced you to join the podcast and listen to us again, hopefully, you know, you'll do it anyways, just to stay connected with us. So I want to thank my co-host, Dana, for joining us today on this special edition of the What's Brewing CISFA podcast show. And thank you all, our audience, for tuning in. Thank you, exec board members and everybody else who's at the conference, who's here today.
And everyone, check out the CISFA website at CISFA.org. That's CCCSFAAA.org. And if you have something to say or you have topics you want us to discuss, email us at WBCISFA@gmail.com.
For this and all What's Brewing CISFA podcast, find our feed through Google Podcasts at podcast.google.com. For those using Apple devices, use your podcast app and search for CISFA. You can also find us at wbcisfa.podbean.com or on Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, and on the TuneIn app on your Amazon Echo using Alexa.
What's Brewing CISFA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of Dennis and myself.
This has been episode number 69, recorded live during your lunch hour on Wednesday, March 3rd, 2021.
Have a great day, everyone.
And have a great conference.